It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Derry Show is on the air.
Last week, things were so bad at Harris County Commissioner's Court that the $11 million payoff that the Comandante, Lena Hidalgo, was giving to Elevate Strategies, the one-woman Democrat operative company that has done work for Adrian Garcia, also a commissioner, and Hillary Clinton and the DNC, disqualifying Lena Hidalgo disqualified UT Health Science Center. And they didn't qualify for the bid, even though their bid was lower. And they are, maybe possibly slightly more experienced. I mean, it's a fluff contract anyway. It's for COVID outreach, which is a stupid use of money, but whatever. Let me ask you this. Is there any media outlet in this community that won't give them all the airtime they already want? They just throw money. They just waste money and then don't have money for the things that we actually need, like drainage, cops. So she had to pull that off the agenda because it was so bad. I mean, they had the votes. It was so egregious. She'll find other ways to pay her buddy, but that's where we are. Well, the same thing's happening in the city of Houston. The Houston Housing Director, Tom McCasland, basically accuses Sylvester Turner, the mayor, of fixing the bidding process in order to award a $15 million contract to a firm run by Turner's former law partner. Yep. So what does Turner do? Fires him, because nobody's going to do anything about it. Here's Ted Oberg at Channel 13 telling the story.
Housing and Urban Development Department to review Houston Harvey-related expenses this week. It had been planned in the past and had been somewhat routine, but when McCasland spoke up yesterday, the GLO notified HUD auditors who were already here, the governor, the state housing department, and possibly most troubling, the DPS, which could mean a criminal investigation if DPS decides to get involved. DPS didn't reply to our email this afternoon. It may not be just the Clear Lake deal at issue. In documents McCasland released yesterday, he told City Council there are several similar developments where the administration is pushing deals or developments and making decisions that will negatively affect the city well beyond Mayor Turner's tenure. We also know McCasland delivered dozens of emails and documents to the GLO after speaking to council and before the mayor fired him yesterday. As for the project itself, the Huntington at Bay Area, the developer is still not returning our calls or emails, but it does not appear the city is backing down from it. The mayor denies there's anything wrong with his decision to overrule the housing director's recommendation and support a lower scoring project building a quarter of the affordable housing units. Today, the city released another McCasland email to the city attorney. McCasland says, in this one, I do not believe there are any legal issues with the Huntington deal. McCasland's concern was over the business terms of the deal. The mayor's former law partner, Barry Barnes, he's also not returning our calls today. He is listed in state documents as both a co-general partner and co-developer of this project. Today, the mayor's office sent us paperwork showing the mayor dissolved the law firm with Barry Barnes just days before being sworn in. All of this concerns affordable housing, a real need here in Houston. Tom McCasland said yesterday to council, sometimes government fails because there's political meddling.
It's not political meddling. It is enriching your buddies, which, of course, enriches yourself. If you actually dig into the history of Barry Barnes, Sylvester Turner's old law partner, and see how much business he has received from governments in this community, it is a staggering amount. This has been going on for a very long time. These folks are directing contracts to their buddies, and the only time we know about it is where the housing director here cried foul. If he doesn't, it just keeps happening. The city council doesn't do anything about it. The media doesn't dig into it. He just hands out contracts. There's a guy who's been suing him for years over the way a trash contract was handed out. And he's got thousands of documents as to how that process was rigged. This is third world country stuff. This is honestly third world country level government at the city and the county. And I'm afraid it's not going to get any better because it's all race-based at this point. It's all race. Lena Hidalgo is being written up once a week for, look at this young Latina. She's a young Latina. And this is the future of government in America. Okay. I mean, you see these guys that get elected on the basis of being a minority and are just absolute crooks, corrupt crooks. What does it do? It ruins it for people that are qualified minorities in other positions. It ruins the city or the county. And that's what's going on here. There is your direct correlation. Why are the traffic lights constantly out? Well, that's not the focus. Why are the streets busted up and broken? Not the focus. Why are the police being defunded? Not the focus. Why is there such a flooding problem? Not the focus. And what do you expect? This is what you get. And this is what we get. Kristen in Fort Bend, you're up.
Kristen, have best life.
I'm curious to hear how their night went.
Oh, I hope they were warm.
I did too, I hope.
I'm sure they figured it out. Have a good day. See you later.
Kristen.
This is the flooding problem, not the focus.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, who were you talking to?
Who is this?
This is Michael.
Oh, hi. I'm calling about the famous situation.
I know, but who were you talking to just now?
Oh, my kid's teacher.
Oh, you like her?
Yes.
What does she teach?
Huh?
What does she teach?
Well, she's actually an administrator that comes get the kids into the school.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
What grade is your kid in?
I have one in sixth and one in seventh.
Oh, what a good age. What is the sixth grader's first name? I don't need their last name.
Olivia, better known as Oblivia.
Oh, Oblivia. I like that. Okay. That's funny. And the seventh grader?
Sydney.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Okay. All right. Two girls. You only have two? Okay. All right. Sixth grader and a seventh grader. What a good time in life. Do they do any extracurriculars?
Yeah, I just moved them out of public schools in KDISD.
Into what?
Into a Christian private school.
You like it so far? When you say just, you mean the beginning of this year?
Yeah. Well, I took them out of school in the middle of last year with no backup plan.
And you did it yourself?
Yeah.
You did the homeschooling. How did that go?
Very cool. I just said, give me my kids back.
Hold on. We'll get to your point. Just one second.
Captain Something Wong.
Well, something must be right.
You're listening to Michael Berry.
On this day in 1980, Bob Marley plays his final concert, a 20-song set at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh with his group, The Wailers. You have nothing to worry about the border. If you were concerned, don't be. I just got this note from our news director. Quote, the Reverend Al Sharpton will tour the migrant camp today, along with Del Rio Mayor Bruno Lozano, faith, and civil rights leaders. Sharpton has said he'll investigate claims Border Patrol agents used whips against Haitian migrants crossing the Rio Grande. They brought in the wolf. All is well. All right, Kristen's dropping her kids off to school. I didn't understand. Did you teach your kids, once you pulled them out of public school, did you start homeschooling them at that point?
No, I really did nothing at first until I figured out what my options were. And then they went virtual, which was, of course, a disaster. And I really didn't care. I was just saving them from the system. So I thought we'd figure it out later.
Why was virtual such a disaster?
Oh, because the kids are, you know, not paying attention. The teachers are trying to manage the unruly kids. And then on top of that, they're putting up material that has, you know, math questions about, you know, Tina's looking for cigarettes in her mom's purse and found this triangle. I mean, just, you wouldn't even believe what these teachers are doing.
Did she find the cigarettes?
No. My daughter became a little Project Veritas, highlighting, you know, things she saw that didn't make sense.
Did you have parents or grandparents that smoked?
Oh, of course.
My grandmother smoked, and I was talking to my trainer yesterday about the smoking culture, and you don't see this anymore. My grandmother had like all old people at that time had this. It was a bean bag with an ashtray atop it, so it could sit anywhere, and you could move
in the
that.
Car.
Yeah, it would anywhere. Yeah, I mean, it could literally fit anywhere, you'd see. And the other one that you don't see anymore is the smoking purse. You'd have the little clip that would pop open, and there'd be the checkbook in there, the coin purse, and there was area for cigarettes and the lighter.
No way.
You never see, and it was like a pleather was what it was made out of. And every old woman had, at the Hinkey and Pilots grocery store, which became Kroger, every old woman had one of those. And now you never see.
Oh, yeah. And that Gilly. Mm-hmm.
But, there you go. What did you call about?
So your comandante has a stiff competition in Fort Bend County with King K.P. George.
That's what I've heard. In fact, hold on just a second, see if I can find it. Producer Kenny was showing me yesterday that he begs for followers on either Facebook or Twitter every day. And it's the weirdest thing. He says, you know, we're at 19,415. Help me get to 20. Dude, you're the county judge. Calm down. Have a little dignity. But I'm hearing that he's just as bad as the comandante, just doesn't get as much attention.
Well, he has two drivers.
The county judge has a driver? Two
drivers. And the sheriff, Eric Fagan, has his own driver. That's Fort Bend police officers.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. What else we got going on? What else is Boss Hogg doing?
So we got the $1 million contract based on the fake medical data by Dr. Mentor. They have these two Democratic operatives that are to go around just like Elevate Strategies. This one's just called Next Wave Strategies.
Okay.
And I heard that it's based through someone named Preston Middleton, and looked him up. He has Next Wave Productions, a music company, and he is Shejack's political advisor.
He's Shejack's political advisor?
Mm-hmm.
Preston Middleton. What's his name?
Preston Middleton.
Oh, how very useful. Well, that's the way this game works, is Sheila Jackson Lee gets, you know, she campaigns for you for county judge, and then you hire her consultant, and there's money changing hands here. Right. This is not about good government. There's money changing hands in far more ways than people realize. And it's a very small circle of people that are operating on this level. And that's why when government hands out these contracts, and these contracts are all going to consultants who are really just the front for the politicians who are getting the money on the back. But the consultant, I mean, half these people have criminal records, or, you know, they have no real credentials, and they work out of their apartment, and all they really do is collect a check. And then if there's a service to be provided, they go hire the company that would have won the contract otherwise, and they pay them a discount to get them to actually provide the service. Lee Brown did so much of this. Lee Brown would Lee Brown would give contracts to people to engineer a road that had never done that before, and they had incorporated their company a month after he got elected. So you get that now.
But wait, this gets better.
Okay,
the
correction
gets better.
Yeah.
So in the 2020 election, the Brian Middleton, the DA, said he got bulletins that there was going to be some outside groups influencing or intimidating voters. So he and KP George took it upon themselves to get 40 officers armed from the DA's office and 28 IT professionals that they seated in all the precincts all over the county. And Judicial Watch, you know, Judicial Watch with Tom Fitton did a study and found out that we have 80 to 100,000 ghost voters on our rolls, and that the ballot harvesting in Missouri City is the same that spills over from Fort Bend County. So they completely subverted the process. They took all the election, they set up a hotline, and it went directly to the DA's office, and they intercepted all the calls about the problems with the machines, which the machine purchase is a whole other thing. No one was ever trained on it. And the machines were left on the curb. We're finding out they were, you know, they left people in, alone with the machines. The machines were moved. They're missing the jump drives from all the machines. That whole election was a disaster. The election administrator said, the county, we lost complete control of the election. The county took it over.
Wow. And now you can't do anything about it because they have their people in every position. So the systems of checks and balances are actually controlled by them. This is what's going on in Harris County. That's why you can't do anything about what's going on in Harris County. They have a majority.
Well, stay tuned, because there is a route through conspiracy and RICO charges that's being pursued in Harris County that is, looks very likely to happen over on the Fort Bend side.
Well, I certainly hope so, because our communities deserve better than third world standards. And that's what these people, Sheila Jackson Lee and her cohorts, that's what this is. You're talking about a group of the laziest, sloppiest, dumbest people whose whole goal is to steal from the taxpayer using their little operatives and consultants, which they place in all their little positions. And, you know, Kristen, hold on just a second. What folks don't realize, when there is a bond referendum, let's say there's going to be a bond referendum to build a public building or do something with the Astrodome or Toyota Center or Minute Maid or drainage or whatever. What folks don't realize is how many friends of Sylvester Turner and Sheila Jackson Lee and these folks, and there's others, how many of their friends get paid to do outreach, strategy, marketing? They live from event to event, and they deliver the votes. That's why these things always pass. You don't realize how many of these people get paid off of the elections, off of the government contracts, and we haven't even begun to talk about HISD. You got a former judge, a district court judge, running for unpaid HISD. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people go from city council to unpaid HISD? You think they might be doing this for some reason other than the kids when they don't have kids in the school? You think there might be some slush money being tossed around?
Thank you.
Michael Berry Show. What say you, sir?
Hey, sir, yes. So, you know, what you're talking about here in terms of, you know, government contracts and things getting handed out or to their friends. So, you know, I'm living a real life experience of that right now. So my mother lost her house during Harvey. And in the last 4 years, she's been getting passed around from entity to entity, you know, to different manager this. It's got to get signed off on that. And here we are 4 years later. She hasn't received a penny. And she keeps getting told she's been approved. She's been approved for money. They've allocated, you know, the money's been approved to be allocated to her. But she can't get anybody to get her a check. And she keeps getting passed around and told it'll be next month and then 90 days, and it never happens. And she's written her congressman, and she's a retired high school teacher of 36 years. So this month, so she keeps impeccable records of everybody she's talked to, of every, you know, every entity and different person they've passed around, and she still hasn't received any money. So what I'm suggesting is you know, these companies that are getting paid to shuffle around paperwork, you know, are getting paid by the federal money that's been handed down for Harvey, and they're not allocating it to the people that it's supposed to go to. And she's not the only one. You're talking thousands of people across the city that haven't received a penny for Harvey money that have been approved for it.
Of course. And here's the problem. Some of that is because it's gone to people that didn't qualify because they receive checks not on the basis of need or qualification, but friendship with the right politicians. And some of that is just absolute neglect and incompetence. Serving on city council for 6 years, and it's gotten, believe me, it's much worse today than it was then. But serving on city council, I would watch how they would try to position contracts for friends of the mayor. This was Lee Brown. And they would create new things that the city had never done before so that other companies wouldn't have more experience than who they wanted to give the money to. But it would always sound good. And half the time, if they got busted, the Chronicle would write a nice article about it. Oh, we're going to do after-school programs. Yes, after-school programs. Well, wait, whoa. The city of Houston should be about roads, trash, airport, water, police, and fire. What are we doing with after-school programs? Well, this is going to be great. We're going to do after-school programs. After-school programs. Well, that's bull. That's stupid. No, we're not. We don't need to be in the after-school program business. But we did. Do you remember what happened with the after-school program money? Do you remember the investigation into where the after-school money went? Let me see. Here's a great example. I got an email yesterday or the day before. City of Houston took a momentary break from COVID hype and announced that the mayor would be starting an Adopt a Monument program. It's going to be great. We're going to have an Adopt a Monument program. And let's see if I can find this. Ramon, see if you can find it. It came from within our news team. This just works. Here we go. This came out on September 26th. So yesterday. Mayor Turner and Houston Arts Foundation to announce new Adopt a Monument program. Oh, okay. So the monuments that weren't torn down, we're going to throw some slush money at them. Let's see. The Houston Arts Foundation and Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner will host a press conference unveiling a new branding initiative for the 56-year-old nonprofit organization at City Hall in the Legacy Room. And here's all the people that we're going to have here and da-da-da-da-da. And then here we go. According to the chairman, the timing was right for the new branding. Let's see. Of particular importance, comma, the entire rebranding effort was accomplished by veteran creative specialists who have built their award-winning careers working and living in Houston. Oh, my goodness. So I wanted to see. Let's see. The new logo is bold, simple, and forward-focused. Remember, we're always going forward. We're going to build back better. We're going to lean forward. No yesterday, always tomorrow. We'll get through this together. It really is a dystopian Orwellian sci-fi novel. Complete and utter waste. It's Hedley Lamarr. It's complete and utter waste, followed by platitudes and public unveilings and ribbon cuttings and announcements of diversity. And here we are, we're over in the Third Ward, and we're at a new food truck for a rapper, and it's diversity, and this shows America, and Houston is on the rise. We're moving forward. We're pushing through. We're not looking back. We're all eyes vision, vision 2020, forward-leaning, push forward, don't fall down, always up, never down. This is what we've become. We've become Detroit.
The Michael Berry Show.
Michael Berry.
If I go a million miles away, I'd write a letter each and every day. 'Cause honey, nothing, nothing can ever change this love I have for you.
More than 3,000 Harris County deputies and detention officers have filed a class action lawsuit against the Comandante, county commissioners, and the sheriff, saying the county jail is dangerously understaffed with more than 6,000 inmate-on-inmate assaults and close to 1,000 attacks on jailers.
We ask that God may have mercy on Commissioner's Court, because we are not.
Call it a declaration of war by more than 3,000 Harris County deputies and detention officers against the elected leaders with ultimate control over just how many tax dollars flow to law enforcement. Within this 200-page federal class action lawsuit against Judge Lena Hidalgo, commissioners, and the sheriff, dozens of detention officers offer eyewitness testimony regarding a dangerously undermanned county jail with more than 6,000 inmate-on-inmate assaults and close to 1,000 documented attacks on jailers.
We have countless stories of the employees who have been assaulted by inmates because there's not enough staff for them to go in pairs into the pots. And inmates know that, and they jump these detention officers and send them to the hospital.
And then there's the ongoing epidemic of drug abuse inside the jail. With too few officers to interdict contraband, the facility reportedly reeks of smuggled synthetic marijuana and worse, intoxicants concocted from cleaning fluid.
There's a drug epidemic in the jail, and you have inmates overdosing being sent to the clinic. I think in the last couple months there have been 3 inmate deaths due to overdosing in the jail.
In a scathing complaint to the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, the deputies' union alleges more than a dozen ongoing violations, including failure to count inmates daily, failure to interdict dangerous contraband, failure to protect the safety of detention officers, and deliberately lying to the state in regard to minimum staffing levels. The emerging crisis has drawn the rapt attention of State Senator John Whitmire, who is calling for an aggressive TCJS investigation.
I would advise commissioners, before you lose control of your jail to the federal government and the federal courts, you need to act.
There you have it. But I'm not sure the federal government swooping in and taking over Harris County's jail would be any better, considering that Joe Biden is the president and the people that run our government. It's not him, but he's who they've chosen. That's who it would. Think about this. I mean, we are watching our country slide into third world standards. this, but the good news is it's only just begun. Breitbart reports two Afghans brought to the U.S. have already been charged with child sex crimes, strangling a wife while living on a Wisconsin military base. Two Afghan men brought to the U.S. as part of President Joe Biden's massive resettlement operation out of Afghanistan have been charged with child sex crimes and domestic abuse while temporarily living at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. One of them, Barullah Nuri, 20 years old, and the other one, Muhammad Harun Imad, 32 years old. Nuri is accused of trying to forcefully engage in sex acts with a minor while temporarily living at Fort McCoy since being brought to the U.S. with tens of thousands of other Afghans. But remember, they were all vetted. Jen Psaki said, we vetted them all. Nuri has also been charged with three counts of engaging in a sexual act with a minor and one count alleging the use of force. An indictment against Nuri states that his victims were under the age of 16 and were at least 4 years younger than him. In a separate incident, Imad is accused by prosecutors of strangling and suffocating his wife while temporarily living at Fort McCoy after arriving in the U.S. from Afghanistan. That was on September 7th, so that didn't take very long, did it? You are going to have so many rapes, so many crimes against young girls and women, so much violence carried out by these people who were brought here. And I don't buy the BS that, well, we owe it to them. Why do we owe it to them? Well, they helped us while we were there at war. That's why you can't be in these situations. If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. The longer we were in Afghanistan, the more compromising positions we find ourselves in. And then you got these people, well, he helped me while I was there. Okay, well, let's bring him too. And let's bring his brother, who, by the way, is a rapist. And let's bring his other brother, who's a pedophile. You are going to have so many cases of pedophilia and rape from these Afghan, quote-unquote, refugees. It's a different culture. It's a different culture. That's not to say that every refugee who comes here is going to engage in rape or pedophilia. It is to say it's a bigger problem there. They don't operate with the same set of values that we do. They don't operate with the same systems, understandings, expectations, cultural norms that we do. Are we going to pretend that's not true? Okay. Drop me in China tomorrow, and for the first week, I won't know how to greet people. I won't know whether I'm to sit on a pot, poop in a hole, poop on the wall, where to pee, what to eat, what to say and not say, what gestures are considered offensive, how to say thank you. And those aren't just things that you quickly learn. There are different values. What you do, what is your conflict resolution mechanism? I mean, we see that now, where a lot of inner city blacks in the United States have a different conflict resolution structure than, say, white suburbanites. Hey, it makes for good comedy fodder, right? But it's true. We're not all being raised the same way. We don't all have the same set of values. There were 12 people on a jury that heard the same evidence you did and decided it'd be funny or cute or awesome or empowering for O.J. Simpson to walk free. And I guess go find the killer. I mean, that happened in this country. Jack Yates High School has now renamed their stadium for George Floyd. George Floyd. What's shocking is how many people don't know George Floyd's criminal record. So I don't know what's worse, that people don't know his criminal record or they don't care. 6,000 inmate-on-inmate assaults and close to 1,000 attacks on jailers. Why would you work for the Harris County Jail? Why would you work for the city of Houston or Harris County today? If you're a good, honest, honorable, decent person, why would you go to work in that? Here we are. We've become Detroit. We've become Detroit. Isn't this great? Every Democrat should be forced to put the dog in the nose in their pee. Every Democrat should be forced to put their nose in this pee. Look what you did.